Matthew 12:22. The one having been demon-possessed was brought to him, to the Lord. He was blind and dumb. And the Lord healed him so that the blind and dumb one could both speak and see. All the crowds were amazed and said, "Is this not the son of David?" Now, when you hear them say in Scripture, "the son of David," you know, they're trying to, isn't this a man? You know, what is this? What's going on? But hearing, the Pharisee says, "This one does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub." What a name. Do not name your child Beelzebub. Okay? All right, good idea. But this one does not cast out. Now, the Pharisees are saying he casts out the demon by Satan, basically what they're saying. Ruler of the demons. Wow. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, without even them having to say this out loud, Jesus knew what they were thinking. He said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to ruin." First, let me show you this. Does everybody recognize Jesus doesn't defend himself? He doesn't get provoked. He doesn't start bragging on who he is. He just lets go of that and speaks the truth about what the enemy is really up to, which is division in the church. Amen? And Jesus says, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to ruin. Every city or house divided against itself will not stand." Okay, there's a really powerful truth there. When you look at our nation, okay, and you got Democrats and Republican, and it's very political. You really almost don't even stand a chance of getting there and running on any other platform but one of those two. The nation's divided, amen? And it's really getting messy this go round. A nation divided can't stand. The enemy knows it. A church divided can't stand. Your house divided can't stand. And you being double-minded can't stand. The Bible says God gives nothing to a double-minded man. A double-minded man, the word minded there is actually soul. It means there is two things going on in your soul. You're like two different people. And that's where Caleb was really coming from when he shared at the beginning of this conference. Like, you know, it was like this thing would take over. And then there was this part of him. And then there was the real him. And this thing was happening. And at some point, there's going to be a showdown. Amen? And so, as we're talking about deliverance, what we want to do is we want to get ourselves, we're talking about ourselves, we want every part of our lives healed and made whole and come into oneness. The enemy wants to divide your thinking up. He wants to actually cause demonic spirits to traumatize you, to cause professional world would call split personality, schizophrenia, mental illness, okay? And truthfully, you can heal the brokenhearted places, the areas where the enemy got in, and bring wholeness. And so if you ever hear one of the teachings or one of our, where I'm actually doing a healing of the brokenhearted person, you will almost always hear the Holy Spirit lead me, even when they don't really know what I'm doing. I did one, what was that? Tuesday night, a man came. And I could see where he was wounded as a kid. And I knew he didn't have any of this teachings. I'm like, okay, Lord, how do you want to do this? But as I was talking to him about what happened when he was a kid, and they were afraid because there was a spirit in the house, and it was really attacking the kids. They lived in a house that really had demonic spirits in it. But he was so afraid. He was talking about how he was afraid. And I actually saw in the spirit him as a little boy just really afraid. And so the Lord said, go heal that. So he had me do this healing without being too, spiritual to freak people out. And that's how you minister to children. When you minister to children, you don't do it so, to scare them, you know. You just go in and you heal that place. And so when you heal a place, it's always bringing Jesus into it. And we've got lots of teaching on healing the brokenhearted. I really encourage you to get a hold of that. To heal a place, now, Holy Spirit has to do it, but you step out in faith knowing, okay, this is a hurt place. How do you know? I can tell by the Spirit. what they're saying now doesn't line up with the truth of God's word. They can't seem to get past it. There's a lie here. It's stuck there. It's attacking them. You know, it keeps them feeling bad about themselves or rejected or whatever, right? You got to start recognizing, oh, that's a place that's been strategically wounded by the enemy, and it's a broken place. Amen? So to heal that, the Holy Spirit is going to bring truth to that. Every broken place goes back to what? Bitterness. Why did God let this happen? Why did this happen to me? This wasn't fair. All the lies, or a lot of the lies, or part of the lies that are built up in your thinking about yourself and about God happened in a place where you were broken. If you were molested, that's a broken place. If you were lied about, that's a broken place. If you were, it doesn't have to be really big traumatic things either. It's just a place where the enemy came in and spoke to you. You know, you think it's your own thoughts. Many times you think it's your thoughts or you think it's God's thoughts, but they don't line up with Scripture. Amen? And they come in and they plant a lie inside of you, okay? A stronghold. Everybody's heard that word. A stronghold is simply a lie that you bow to as truth, okay? It's a lie. A strong man, his whole kingdom inside of you or inside someone is built on lies. That's why the Bible says you shall know the truth and the truth will make you free. Amen? You shall take that lie and bring truth to it, and bringing truth to it is healing that broken place. So, and then I just do this. I've seen the Lord have me do this and now I just do it. Sometimes maybe I do it just to make sure. But when I get to one of those places, I then ask the Lord, I speak to that hurt place to be healed and made whole. And I'll use Irene's testimony. I was listening to it. I was like, oh my goodness. It's been quite a few years. We ought to play it. It'll be pretty funny. Do y'all want to hear me doing this years and years ago? It's a little embarrassing. I wasn't as nice and mature as I am now. Do we still have that? This was back years ago, but it really demonstrates. I wasn't trying to work it in, so we weren't using it because I was kind of embarrassed to listen to it. But if you listen really close, you're actually going to hear me. Now, we did not know anything like this was going to happen. I'm going to tell you, get in the venture, amen? I remember the first time I met Irene. She had people, you know, she was doing Bible studies and that kind of stuff, right? And bringing house, but just crazy. I'm looking at Irene going, I wasn't near as mature as I am now. Let's just say that. That Irene hung in there is amazing. And I go to Karen, some people, I said, well, what happened is they put us in this house instead of apartments we were supposed to be in, like separate units, that was being renovated. So they took and put us in this house together, like me and a few regulars at BFA with a bunch of people we didn't know. God has a sense of humor, you know what I mean? I mean, you talk about go for ministry, go and get in a house with people who are coming to a woman's retreat that you don't know, who heard me on the radio. And so Irene at that time seriously embraced spirituality to try to love herself and to try to make people accept her. And she's changed so much, oh my gosh. And so she's all rough and tough and she's dancing and doing all this stuff. And I'm sitting there with Karen. I didn't even hardly understand that phythonic spirit, or I call it religious spirit. That comes from the little girl in Scripture, or young woman in Scripture, who's following Paul around, and she's saying all the right things, right? Do you know the Scripture I'm talking about? And after a couple of days of this, he couldn't take it anymore. But he either God didn't let him discern it first, or he knew it, but God didn't tell him what to do with it. But at some point, God's like, get that thing out, and he cast this thing out, and she could no longer be into fortune telling. She could no longer make money. It was a count. She said all the right things. These are servants of the Most High. Follow the. We get that spirit coming in this place so much, it's not funny. You know, and I said, Lord, why? He said, because I want you to set people free from this. It's all over the church. It's people who do not deal with their heart issues, and they try to be spiritual, and they embrace a spirituality to impress people. They embrace a spirituality for people to like them and to love them, instead of finding freedom in Christ and loving themselves. Amen? Loving God and then loving themselves. You can't love anybody else until you love yourself. You can't love your children until you love yourself. That's why there's so much codependency and entanglements and all this mess. Amen? But as we fall in love with Jesus and we begin to believe what he says, we begin to love ourselves. And as I begin to love ourselves, I fill up with that revelation of how awesome God is and how awesome I'm made and how wonderful it is that I'm his daughter. And then pretty soon that flows over into my children, and that flows, or to my husband first, and then to my children, and then to my brothers and my sisters and people around me. Amen? It's just this outpouring of his great love, which has to come from a revelation of who he is, which causes you to know who you are in him. You no longer believe the lies, and you think you love. You cannot love until you love yourself. Everything that looks like love until you love yourself is you getting a need met. I need them to think I'm okay. I need to think I'm okay. I need them to like me. I need to not be rejected. I need to serve God and make sure he knows how I'm working hard for him. I need. God says, God's not in all that. I mean, God's faithful even when we're not. Amen? And he'll anoint this and he'll anoint that. God wants us so free that what pours out of us is just completely because we're in love with him. We love ourselves, and now we can't help but let love go everywhere we go. Amen? And see wholeness and relationships and healing. And so it's so important as they're doing deliverance to recognize, I've got to really get past all the lies and fall in love with Jesus. I've got to really begin to see who I am in Christ. And I say this over and over because God sends a lot of hurt people here. If you hate yourself before you come to Christ, that's the wrong kind of death to self. That's a counterfeit. That's Satan making you hate yourself. That's Satan making you mock and make fun of the life that God gave you. So when someone comes here who already hates themselves, they already feel evil, they already feel wicked, you've got to help them get free. Amen? And then you have to build them up and who they are in Christ. And here's the kid. When they finally get the revelation and get free enough to love themselves, then they're able to give up themselves. God does not want your sacrifice with all its blemishes. Amen? No, I'm serious. When people come in and they don't love themselves and they skip that part of believing in the truth that he says about them because it's too hard to go there and deal with where I was hurt or where I was lied about or where this happened or what I don't have. It's too hard. I'm going to skip all that and I'm going to jump right up to serving God. And then they get hyper-spirituality many times or they're man-pleasers or they'll do anything you want. They get taken advantage of and all this kind of stuff, right? You know what I'm talking about? Doesn't work like that. Now, if you really do love yourself, then you'll come in and God will require yourself of you. Do you want to serve me? Oh, I don't know. I got a pretty good job. I got a nice husband. I got a pretty going here, God. Can I just kind of get saved so I don't go to hell? My life's all right. What happens? They're living that lukewarm life until they hit a crisis, which is God spitting them out of his mouth, so they have to choose. Amen? But let's say you come in and you love yourself, and then you really choose to give yourself to God and die to self. And let's, how many of us know we think we've done that way before we've done that? Amen? You'll see some of that flesh jumping back up. It's like, oh no! I thought I was dead. Dead people don't think like that. Dead people don't defend themselves. Dead people don't this. Dead people don't get upset. Dead people. Amen? So when I finally give myself to the Lord, and what does Paul say? I die daily. I got to daily make a decision. I'm going to live for God and walk in the things of God and not embrace my life outside of him. Amen? We're all still getting there. Let's go. Let's be honest. Anyway, where was that? So, when Irene came in to BFA, she hated herself. She had a lot of demonic stuff going on. She'd been extremely abused, probably ritually abused as a child. Couldn't even remember part of her thinking, her memories. I'll never forget it. Gosh, I'm telling wild stories. I was like, Christianity looks like something, you guys. It's really powerful. I've never seen anything like this. This is years ago. You're looking at, how many years ago was that? 17? No, about 17 years ago. I know I've told this story, but this is one of my eye-opening, oh my gosh, God, do your thing stories. I've never seen anything like this. To me, it shows this awesome, awesome love that God has for us and how much he'll fight for us. And so first of all, I got to be honest, I wasn't real kind and all back then. I still had mean going pretty bad. That's why all the old teachings, which were awesome teachings, but we pulled them because there's too much of me in them. And it's too bad because the Bible study in it was really good, to be honest with you. But I really don't have time to put that kind of teaching together. That's when I would teach like once a month. I was like, oh, this is great. But Karen, have you ever, Irene, I said, what do you think? Or like, something's wrong with her. She's just really messed up. So I can't stand it. I can't be in this house for, you know, 3 or 4 days with these people I don't know while this lady's acting so spiritual and she's so messed up. So we went upstairs, said, we didn't even know your names. We said, would you guys come downstairs? Linda was with you. I said, come downstairs a minute. We want to talk to you. And I just asked her who Jesus was. And she really couldn't tell me. She couldn't give me a really understanding. I said, well, how do you know him? How do you walk with him? How real is he to you? And nothing that she had to say lined up with the kind of spirituality she was trying to show. And so I just looked at her and told her, you know, and she received. Who knows where you'd be today, Myron? Goodness gracious. I mean, God's faithful. He kept trying. But she received, and she said, I know I'm hurting. I know I messed up. And I said, well, just don't act all spiritual. Don't pray for people. Don't preach around here. Just let's get you to a place where you love you. And that was the beginning of a long, long, long friendship with many, many a winding roads. So, but one of the most powerful supernatural encounters with the power of God and the power of the enemy that I personally have ever been involved in was that meeting. And God has a sense of humor. What is it? We were all so young. Oh my gosh. You're looking like almost 20 years ago. And I was in my 30s, Lord. And so we were sitting around and we were just worshiping God with a CD player and just awesome presence of God. We always had so much fun. Get with some people who know how to love God and have fun and grow together. Amen. I'm serious. And so we were worshiping God and all of a sudden, I mean, people really intensely worshiping too. We were really worshiping God. Monica was there. Remember that? She was just a young thing. Oh my gosh. We were worshiping God and all of a sudden, the Lord says to me, I'm about to come in the room in a powerful way. Don't stop what I'm about to do and tell no one to move or to touch. Don't let anyone intervene in what I'm about to do. Because enabling people or people who always got to run in and hug everybody, they stop what God's doing. And if God's doing something or the devil's up to something, you don't want people who are ministering to feel good about themselves in the way. Amen. So we're all worshiping. I said, and I didn't know what was going to happen. And without trying, half the ladies got on this side and half on this side. And the funniest thing is the man who we got this house from, for whatever reason, decides to stay. It's all women. And this man we don't even know, who became friends with later, he's sitting on the end of the room like, well, I really like church. I'd like to stay. And I'm thinking, oh, we're going to get kicked out after this, you know, everybody. So we're just worshiping God. And all of a sudden, I felt the presence of God so strong. And without trying, the group divided into two groups. I mean, one side went, like, made a walkway. And Irene, I don't know if she was on the couch or by the couch. She was sitting on the couch on the end. And all of a sudden, the presence of God came so strong. And everybody could feel it, just like about everybody. Like, and it was so intense. It was really very fearful, like in a reverent kind of don't breathe too hard way. And all I said was, don't anybody do anything, say anything, or touch anybody unless you know that it's God. And everybody started worshiping and worshiping. Everybody could feel like the Lord walking right down between us. The Spirit of the Lord was right there. Not just Holy Spirit, but the Spirit of the living God. The whole Spirit, not just Spirit of the living God, Jesus' Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord, the angel of the Lord was right there. And we were just weeping. Everybody was weeping and crying and worshiping. Irene's probably sitting on the couch like, what are they all doing? I don't know. I didn't look. The next thing I know, when the Lord says, don't anybody move. I said, everybody keep your eyes, as if, you know, just be careful what you do. We looked. And the Lord told me, I'm going to fight for her soul. I can't explain this. I'm not making this up. It's wild. It'd be great when the church gets in the real deal. Amen? All of a sudden, Irene, she was lifted up off the couch supernaturally. We were all freaking out. Most people start closing their eyes, praying and telling you, like, what on earth is happening? And she was picked up off the couch, and she was flung around. And it literally looked like a war was going on for her. She'd go this way, and then something would pull her this way, and something would pull her this way, and something would pull her this way. We were so scared. We were too scared to do anything. We had never been in anything like this before or after to this degree. I'm serious. Am I telling the truth? That's Kira. We were like, you're scared to look and scared not to look. You're afraid to move and afraid not to move. I mean, it was like, and Irene was, and then she was thrown on the floor and she was rolling around. And I mean, it was just wild. And we're all like, everybody's praying. By now, I think everybody's praying in tongues. And then all of a sudden, just peace hit the room. Peace hit the room. And Irene burst out crying. Irene had never cried a day in her life that she can remember until then. Whoa, fearless. The wall of pain and shame and the place of hiding that abused person, the place of hiding that mistreated person, that hated person, the place of hiding that was blocked away behind a completely, a wall the enemy had built, and all you saw was a fake Irene. And then the Lord said, she's mine. And then throughout years of deliverance, God healing her memory. God, let me tell you, she mentioned, never tell something to somebody about them that God hasn't revealed to them. You could be getting a lie and planting that in them. Amen? Everybody doesn't have to remember everything to get healed. All you have to know is truth. You don't have to know what happened to you. You might have been too young to know. You might have heard twisted versions of it. Amen? Don't do this stuff that people are doing in calling ministry where they make up stuff and then put that on you, and then you go and think you hate your father and hate everybody and accuse people of molesting you who you don't even have a memory of. Amen? God's not the accuser of the brethren. Amen? There's a lot of stuff going on in the name of Jesus by immature people who don't have a reverent fear that's hurting people. Amen? If you're going to err on the side of caution. If you don't know, say you don't know. Amen? And let Holy Spirit reveal it, however he wants to reveal it, and as much as he wants to reveal. And so, anyway, over this process, we're not going to get into her whole testimony. That'll come at another day, and when God gives us the time to do all that. But what I was talking about, when we're talking about healing that hurt place, so she began to be on a journey, and this was after the time we did it here. So this is, okay, Karen and I were praying, here's real ministry, asking God, show us how to help her. We don't know how to help her. We've never heard about anything like this. We don't know what to do, God. And so I got this really big book by, I forgot, Spiritual Warfare book by Edward or something. Anyway, it's a really big spiritual warfare manual. And this man had been a well-respected, I believe, psychiatrist and all that until he really found God and got spirit-filled and started being loved the spirit and this stuff. So this thing was this big. And I turned to the page on it, and it talked about, I had never heard this before from anybody. Okay, I've never heard about this. I didn't even believe it when I read it. But it wouldn't leave me alone. The Lord's like, try this. And it talked about you can have a place so wounded and locked away from the rest of your personality that that place never feels saved. That place stays tormented. That place stays in bondage. And now I know that would be called a broken-hearted place. Amen? Amen? I didn't even know that back then. I love it. I've been doing this before he gives me the biblical, here's this, here's this, here's this. So I know it's not from my head. Amen? So anyway, so I sit down with Carol. I don't forget this. We were in this building, right? We're sitting over there. And so we said, Irene, come on over because maybe were we in this building? No, we were at the Oyster Point. Oyster Point. Okay, so this is like 15 years ago then. We're at Oyster Point in that back little room there. And I said, I said to Karen, well, this guy says, I said, it sounds crazy. It's probably not going to work, but I feel like I ought to try it. And it was to call, he gave an example where he called a hurt person out from where they were wounded and split off from the personality. And then he led them to that part of them. He shared Jesus. So we're like, I never heard anything like this in my life. So we said, well, Irene, we've tried everything. We don't know how to get through to you. We don't know how to break through some of this pain and torment. So we were sitting down. And then the Holy Spirit showed up so big, like almost like, yeah, here's what, like, and I'm thinking, why is he here like that? You know, why is the Holy Spirit here like the deliverer? Then I'm thinking, oh my gosh, this is something to this. Because in discernment, I could tell God's all over this thing. So we sit Irene down. I'll never forget it. You should see me, Karen's face. So we're sitting back there. We stumbled into deliverance. Okay, we never studied to be deliverance ministers. It's just devils show up screaming at you. You do something. So we're sitting there. And so I'm like, okay, this is going to sound goofy, but let's just try this. I had no faith this was going to happen. Okay, none. All right? I just really felt led by God to do what this guy said to do in the book. I was like, we'll do it. That'll be the end of it. So we're sitting there. I said, well, we're all kind of laughing because it seems silly to talk to little Irene, you know. So I'm like, okay, well, we're going to talk to little Irene who's, I don't know, you're like 3 or 4 years old or something, and something happened to you, you know. Irene knew something happened to her a little bit. I don't even know if by then if you remember. I don't know. I just said, so if there's a hurt place in there where there's a part of Irene that's caught in a childhood trauma, we want to speak to her. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit's all over there, and it's like, we care, like, oh my gosh. And then next thing we know, this voice comes out of Irene, literally a man's voice, sounds like, and says, she's mine, you can't have her. She's mine, I've had her since she was little, she was given to me. Oh my gosh, Karen and I, we about passed out, we were trying to get out, we're like, we're gonna get out the door. You know, I mean, this thing's like, she's mine, you can't have her. I mean, I'm serious, am I telling the truth? We were like, we looked at each other like, oh my gosh, what do we do now? We this worked, we got to this thing, what do? We never even heard about devils talking through people, that's like our very first time. And we're like, oh, what do we do now? We look at each other, and then God gets on it. Amen. And next thing I know, she's not yours. She belonged to Jesus and the blood of Jesus. You shut up. You have no authority and all this. And he's going, I'm going to kill her. I'm going to kill you. You can't kill anybody. And I can't remember. We're like just going for it. Next thing, it's all quiet. And all of a sudden, this little voice comes out of me. Where am I? I'm so scared. Where am I? I'm like, oh, we got to the kid. So, I'm serious. If Irene was this good of an actress, she'd be in Hollywood winning awards, okay? She could not make this up to freak us out. And so we're like, oh my gosh. So we're like, what do we do? What do we do? So we talked to this girl, this little kid thing. And now, was this on the tape? No, okay. So we talked to this little hurt place in her, and we're like, and seriously, when you're in the anointing, you really feel like you're seeing that little kid. You really feel like it. And we told her she could accept Jesus and that he loved her and that, you know, Irene was coming to know Jesus and whatever it was. Anyway, and at that part, we told her how Jesus had died for her and that he loved her and he would never hurt her. Like, and then we've done a few different deliverances, so I might be getting them mixed together. But anyway, the bottom line was at some point, that little girl would tell about somebody hurting her and touching her and make the mean man go away and all this kind of stuff. And so we don't add to it. We didn't egg it on, but we let that hurt place get tucked in. Then we'd bring Jesus in. Well, Jesus died so you can forgive him. Jesus died to heal you there and begin to bring healing. And then we said, Lord, that shattered place, that broken place, in the name of Jesus, we command it to be made whole with who she is, who Irene is as a woman of God. Amen? And then everything just started changing. So this is just an example. It's kind of embarrassing because This was a long time ago, okay? But we weren't expecting this thing to come up. I forgot what we were doing. We were doing something at Nag's Head and a retreat, and we weren't trying to do a deliverance. And all of a sudden, this thing speaks through Irene. I'll have to listen to here because we can only put a mic on it. And then I get a little bit mean, a little bit at the devil, not at Irene, because we weren't expecting this thing to be there. And so we found another place in her that had been wounded. And in that anointing, it came to the surface. And all of a sudden, you have this devil talking to us. And anyway, do you got it?
I think so.
Okay.
Hopefully
so
this will work out okay.
You might not be able to hear it with the speakers, and I will see.
Try it.
Do y'all want to hear it? It's kind of freaky. All right.
Irene, come up here. Did everyone tell you?
You're on the tape.
Okay, it needs to be up a little louder.
Could you hear it?
From today, the Lord actually used you as someone for us to look to and admire as having a real giving heart and a servant heart, even in the process of being changed and delivered. And that there was such a call in your life that as you continue to walk in obedience and continue to let him change and heal you, we're all going to be amazed at what he does with your life. And I just feel like tonight the Lord wants me to pray because there's that one last thing that needs to really let go. I'm believing it's going to let go, and if it doesn't, it'll be like last time. It'll come to the surface, and we'll get to it. I think it's a really deep-rooted spirit of fear from the abuse that you had. And I think somebody said you said something about hiding in a closet. Was that you? What I see is the little girl hiding in the corner really scared because of whatever happened to you, the abuse. Panic, fear. And now I see the Lord walking into that corner. And though there's such fear, I see the Lord taking that little girl and turning her around and looking her in the face and say, "Fear not, for I am with you. So come here." We just come against the spirit of fear and torment that so terrorized this little girl.
Whoa.
We bind it right now. We don't want to hear any devils at this meeting. We don't need any show. We just like seeing what God does. So you have no authority except to come out. You have authority to come out quietly. Like that song, "I Will Not Go Quietly." Oh, that's God's song. That isn't your song. Shut up. Right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I release angels to zip up this thing's mouth.
Whoa.
Do it painfully, too.
Not Irene, the devils.
I thank you for your angels to pour that precious blood. Ooh, no manifestations. Except out.
To the pit. You're not going to like this.
Ah! In the name of Jesus. Ow! Ow! In the name of Jesus. I bind you.
It's
I've had it for 3 years. In the name of Jesus.
What happened was it started really manifesting, and it started making her shake and do all this stuff, and it started saying it owned her and all this. You could hardly hear it, but it was saying it owned her. And that's when the Holy Spirit came on me. And first of all, we had a karaoke. That's what we recorded on back then. And second of all, there was no volume on mic. So it gets really loud when the Holy Spirit comes on you to take something out of somebody. It can. It doesn't have to. And so that thing took her down and started manifesting and started speaking to her that she's mine. You can't have her. I've had her since she was three. That's what it said. And so we just moved in that to break the power of that. And I say that so you can see that, you know, this can be a process. Amen. This can be a journey. And we as ministers, we have to be ready to yield to Holy Spirit and do what he wants and help in this journey. And just to you know, there was a lot of other deliverances and things that we went through in time with Irene. But I'll never forget when the Lord says, now that spirit that thinks it owns her, she actually had a spirit that thought it had legal rights to her because in a ritual as a child, she was given to this thing. And so it really thought it possessed her. I'm not kidding. It would come up and talk right at anybody and say, "She's mine." And we had to help her break all the lies and all the things. We had to plunder the house. Amen. We had to plunder the house. And anybody who's been on this journey with Irene over the years, you kind of didn't like hearing that thing. I mean, it was like, I'm going to strangle her. I'm going to kill you. All that kind of stuff would come out in this really mean voice and would manifest on Irene. And so, personally, I'll just be really honest in this conference, like, I don't like this stuff, you know, like, oh, so I almost, Lord, help me avoid this stuff. And then one night, Lord says, tonight, you're going to take that strong man, the actual strong man, out of Irene from this child that got put in her in this childhood ritual. And I'm like, wow, we are. And Lord says, yeah, and this is the thing that's always screamed and yelled and cussed at us and everything. And so she was sitting back here, it was after the meeting, and I had about five or six people around. And when we got ready to take it out, with just a voice, but had no power anymore. With just a voice, it had no power anymore. It said, you can't get me, I own her. And everybody was like, that didn't even impress anybody, you know? And then the Lord says, I said, no, you're coming out tonight, and you know what? There's nothing left in her that can keep you there. And then everybody hugged her, and the thing came out and totally got freedom then, right, for the first time. And it got, in between, it was bound, and she got better and more healing and better, and she got more healing. But, and I just say that to say, you know, if your journey takes a while, grow in God. You should keep your focus on God. Do what he shows you. Plunder the house. Plunder the house. Quit letting these spirits tell you when and now and this and that. Just get them on the back burner. And I was going to, Irene, just come up and share for a second. This was, to me, the part about plundering the house that I thought Irene was really, she's got this mic, that Irene was really impressive about. Because I asked Irene, because she really, I want you just to share a little bit, Irene, how much the enemy tried to make you leave and tried to make you give in and all that kind of stuff. Because Irene's never been one to stand over this way because that mic sounds really loud.
Well, I know I'd come in the meetings and I'd come with Linda and everybody would be, you know, they'd get together and pray like you would do up here and stuff. And I would sit on a bean bag, and I would be tormented 24/7, no matter why. And then everybody get up and leave, and Cindy would say, are you okay? No, I'm not okay. Just keep me in prayer. And then kept walking a couple of times.
Okay, and let me just say this. The reason that she couldn't join the spiritual stuff was because she had one of the worst, that Python spirit, one of the worst religious spirits talking in her head that it was Holy Spirit of anyone I've ever met. In other words, if she didn't fast the false spirituality, if she didn't fast it, it wasn't going to go away.
Right.
So I would say to Irene, look, you can come to these meetings, and not just deliverance meetings. These were more like we'd get together for encounters and more like a Friday night meeting, just really powerful meetings. I said, but Irene, you really can't enter in until you fast this thing, until you recognize what is the Holy Spirit and what is God. When you're doing deliverance on people with this kind of thing, no one is going to ask the Holy Spirit to leave. Amen? That would be blasphemy. You don't want anyone to ask the Holy Spirit to leave. And you can't show somebody if it's Holy Spirit or a demonic spirit. They've got to know that. And one way to know that is to see what somebody else has. Like, and to recognize, ooh, what I have isn't what they have. You know, what I have is different. And then to help them plunder that house as, why did you take on that false spirituality? Why did you let people think you were anointed? You know, why did you believe that when you know this is what's going on behind the scenes? You know how you're yelling and grumpy and gripey and mean and your whole house is a mess. You know how messed up it all is. But then in front of everybody, you're really spiritual with, you know, scriptures and praise the Lord and dancing. You know what I'm saying? And so it's a hypocritical spirit. I said, so if you want to come, because I know you want to be free, you can come, but you can't join in because it's going to make you worse. And this is just a hard thing if you're a minister, especially if you're having a, quote, public meeting. It's really hard to tell certain people, you know, I don't want you here, you know, or this isn't going to help you to be here. I've actually matured more now where I don't have near the problem telling somebody, you know, this is not what you need to be involved in. Okay, because this is happening in all of the church. The Lord showed me a long time ago, the church, the prophetic church who's entering into this without healing the brokenhearted places is producing almost Christian schizophrenics. People who think they're okay and they're not okay and nobody's dealing with the heart issues. We're dealing with your heart issues, so don't let the devil be lying to you right now. See the difference? You're dealing with your heart issues. But there's no question, if you don't let us deal with your heart issues and if you don't cooperate with us dealing with your heart issues, which you are doing, you would be one of those people. You would be one of those people doing all this stuff, thinking you're all spiritual, having all kinds of things happening, and none of it be real, while you're really losing your mind. So this is really serious when we minister, amen? Especially with the prophetic move that's out there. I love what God's doing in the prophetic. I'm friends with a lot of people in the prophetic. But if you don't have people seriously getting healed in the brokenhearted places and being set free and knowing the word of God, people who hop from thing to thing to thing to thing to thing, and there's nobody who really knows them and nobody who really knows what's going on, and they're just kind of runners. Like this young guy here, was I telling him, I said, don't even talk to me about prayer or anything anymore until you want to get yourself involved somewhere where you're going to submit. Amen? Because I'm not going to give you all this spirituality for you to bring into your box of stuff and be worse. Amen?
Yeah, I used to be very tormented. Even when I went home, I would pace up and down, and I would say, because I was fighting for my mind, and I would pace up and down and say, I've got the mind of Christ. That's the only verse I could say. I couldn't say no other one. And I would just pace up and down and up and down. And a couple of times Cindy says, just schizophrenic today. I know Cindy will love me anyways, and I would walk away. You know, but I would sit down in the meetings, and I would hold on to my chair, and my feet were running 5,000 miles an hour. I wanted to run as fast as I can, and I would sit there. I have no idea what Cindy was saying. I have no idea what she was talking about. I just kept saying, you're going, I'm staying. You're going, I'm staying.
Talking about the spirit in her.
I'm getting free. This thing is coming out of me. I'm getting free. I'm getting free. You're going, I'm staying. I would sit and my feet would be running and I would be sitting and saying, you're going, I'm staying. She'd call for an altar call. I'd go up, get it, and hit it again and hit it again. And I just kept going up eventually. But I would keep running.
Okay,
here.
Tell everybody, this was a part. Because I she was so tormented. It's hard to even remember. You used to be so tormented. Yeah. You've been tormented so long. Yeah. Isn't that awesome?
Praise
and I would I would say to her, so what? So how? All of a sudden there was like a breaking point where she was able to not let this thing really get, you know, take so much authority. And I said, how are you doing this? And she told me, I treat it like it's a kid.
Yeah.
And I just won't let it have its way.
Right.
And she separated herself from it,
right.
And she quit being afraid of it.
Right.
She separated herself from the voices and the stuff going on in her head, and she refused to give in to it anymore.
Right.
And she really began to really treat it like, she really treated it a little bit like a tag along that she had to take along right now because she didn't know how to get it out yet.
Right.
So it was like a tag along, but it's like, just shut up, don't even bother me. You know, just, no, I'm not listening to you. You're not telling me what to do. And she would literally, when she said schizophrenic, it's probably because we've heard her talking out loud. I don't know that I ever used that terminology, but I wouldn't question it. But here's the thing. She actually learned how to separate herself from that thing and grow in God.
Yeah.
Grow in God. Growing God. And Irene, who had a learning disability and things like that, but I saw her, she would outline scripture and write it down and speak it. And she would read, she'd read slow, but she would read it. She would underline it. She was diligent. She was diligent. She was not going to give up. She was not going to give in. She was going to be where God wanted her to be. I remember one time, I forgot what happened, and you just so wanted to leave and take off.
Right.
And you even said, I wanted to get in the car. Maybe you even did get in the car.
No, I didn't okay. go.
And she goes, everything in me said, just run away, run away. Not everything. Not God and her and not the real her. But the enemy's like, just run away, just run away. Nobody, you know, all this stuff. And what she was doing on her own, she was fasting it. Amen?
Yeah.
She wasn't giving into it. She wasn't empowering it. And when she quit empowering it and didn't give into it, it got really loud for a while. And then she chose, and I don't tell you what to do, she chose not to go to psychiatrist. She chose not to do those things. Amen? She chose to use the word of God. She chose to say one scripture over and over, if that's what she had to say. And she read the word of God, and she built herself up in her most holy faith. Amen? And the time comes when she's stronger in what she believes that God says about her right. than what she believes that the enemy says about her. And as her faith increased and her authority increased and she believed, amen, she was able to not agree with the enemy. So when the time came over there for us to get this thing out that really thought he had rights to her, she totally didn't agree. And when she totally didn't agree, it had nowhere to hide. It was a very, very, very simple deliverance.
Right.
Amen. Before that, we tried to get it out because we recognized it was there. We're all learning. She's one of the people God sent in to help me learn this. Amen. and so we're learning. So there were times when, you know, all this wild stuff was happening and voices and all this kind of stuff, and we didn't get it out. Mm-hmm. And that's what made me go deeper and say, God, why? You know, why? And so I'll go into the scripture about that. Thank you, Irene.
Yeah.
And plus, you know, life is going on while you're going through all this. So she, you know, in this season, she lost a grandchild to a drunk driver, and her husband fell back into some sin. And I'm just saying, life isn't a piece of cake. God doesn't put, everything's not put on hold until you get to the other side of your trial. Amen? Amen? Everything does it. So you have to hang out with God, live in God, listen to God, grow in God. I mean, the Christian life is not a boring life. I can't imagine how any Christian can be bored. Unless you're just kind of lying back down into the devil's plan. Let's finish with this one scripture. There's so much we could do. Let me see this. So this is the part where he just says, so a house divided against itself will not stand. Okay, think about that. She has two things going on. It's a house divided. Caleb had two things going on. It's the enemy fighting, and so you've got to get stronger and stronger and stronger to where you don't identify at all with the lies of the enemy. You don't identify at all. If he even says it, you can laugh at it like, that's so ridiculous. As long as you're still identifying, or somebody you're ministering to is still identifying with the enemy, amen? You aren't at a place yet to see the thing cast out. Why? Because you haven't believed truth yet. So you got to keep ministering. You got to keep pouring in love. You got to keep getting in the word. You got to help them be diligent to plunder that house. All right. And he says, but if I cast out the demons by the Spirit of God, and then the kingdom of God has come on you. And that's where we started with, how can anybody go after the strong man until they plunder his house. And I wanted to do one last scripture that she brought up. Yes, thank you. Very good. The fasting and prayer one. Some only come out by fasting and prayer. Thank you, thank you. See how this all works? Look at the teamwork around here. Everybody learns to stay on their toes. Does anybody know what that is? Kim? By the way, tomorrow, Marion, Kim, and myself will be doing the service at second service. So we'll have three different preaching going on. Okay, fasting and prayer. Anybody find it? Okay, here we go. Okay, Mark 9. Oh, also Matthew 17. Let's go to Matthew 17 first. Okay, Matthew 17. All right, this is very important, and this is a good place to end this. Okay, let's go all the way up. Matthew 17, 14. And they having come towards the crowd, a man came near to him, to Jesus, and he knelt down and he said, Lord, pity my son, have compassion on my son, for he is moonstruck, and which I think is like cerebral palsy, I believe. Huh? Epileptic, that's right, epileptic. It's like an epileptic where they just lose control. For he is moonstruck and suffers miserably. He often falls into the fire and sometimes into the water. I brought him to your disciples, and they were not able to heal him. And answering, Jesus said, we don't make Jesus look so cushiony sweet, right? You know? And he's awesome, right? But he looks at them and he says, you faithless and perverted generation. Amen? I didn't make that up. He looks at them. Because they're trying, they have been with him, they've been given authority, they've been sent out, they've seen this stuff, and now they bring this person that looks really hard because they're having an epileptic fit, they're probably manifesting, and they can't get him out. And Jesus says to them, you faithless and perverted generation, until when shall I be with you? Until when shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. Somebody will do just a word study on Jesus' rebuke to his followers. What would he be saying to us? Everybody thinks Jesus would stand in the church today and say such beautiful flowery things? How many know we have more unbelief than the early church? How many know we have more perverted than the early church? How many know we have wrong doctrine? Amen? I want to get all that out of my heart, out of my life, so at least when I stand before him, amen, he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. He will say, enter into the joy of the Lord, amen? So here's the Lord, and he's seeing that they didn't get what he's been teaching them. And Jesus rebuked the spirit. The demon came out from him, and the boy was healed that very hour. Wow. Then coming up to Jesus privately, like, we don't want everybody to hear this guy, but can we ask you something? Why weren't we able to cast him out? Can I tell you something so awesome about this scripture? Why haven't you asked God that in your own life? Why haven't you asked God, Lord, why when I laid hands on him, weren't they healed? Lord, why wasn't I able to cast that out? See, that question that his disciples asked, that's the kind of questions I've been asking God all these years. See, after my daughter died, I didn't twist scripture. I didn't blame anybody else. I said, God, why? Why was the enemy able to do that? When my son was sick, God, why is the enemy able to do this? What must I do? What? And the Lord said, let me teach you. Amen? They seriously went in. We want to know, God. We want to know. Why couldn't we cast him out? We just thought, we did it before. And then Jesus says, because of your unbelief. Whoa. Okay, so one reason that you haven't been able to see others set free or even in your own life, Jesus points it out, right? Your unbelief. Bing, 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 bing. unbelief. Okay, if you were like the devil, not that you are, and you knew what God's word says, right? And you're thinking, huh, Holy Spirit lives right in there, right inside of Lisa. Holy Spirit's right in there. We got to get her some unbelief. We got to keep her in unbelief. If we don't keep her in unbelief, she's going to cast out demons. If we don't keep her in unbelief, she's going to heal the sick. If we don't keep her in unbelief, everybody in the trailer court who wants to find God is going to find him. We got to keep you all in unbelief. That's the enemy. Let me get teaching to put everybody in unbelief. Let me make it not work so many times. You see what I'm saying? So instead of saying, okay, this doesn't work, or let me change it, you need to have the kind of questions the disciples had. God, why didn't this work? Because number one, God, I know it's not about you, because we know you are yay and amen. We know Satan's defeated because of what you've done. And I've gotten free from covering doctrine, man-made doctrine, and all the doctrine that blames somebody else. Amen? I got rid of all that. Get rid of all that. So you can say, God, why was I not able to? And then he'll start giving you answers. And he says to them, because of your unbelief. Well, if I get an answer like, because of your unbelief, then I want to start asking, Lord, would you help my unbelief? How many in this room have prayed, Lord, help my unbelief? Amen. We need to pray that kind of stuff. We need to mean it. Lord, help my unbelief. You might get in some extremely interesting situations when you ask God to teach you. Amen? Because he doesn't just do head knowledge. He teaches you in a way that you will have belief. Amen? Lord, help my unbelief. So he goes on, he says to them, look, if you even have faith as small as a grain of a mustard, it's a little tiny seed of mustard, you will say to a mountain, this mountain, move from here and go to there, and it will move. Nothing shall be impossible to you. So what God is saying is just a teeny, tiny, itsy bit of faith has more authority than a natural mountain standing in its place if you want it to move. Wow. What he's saying is there is enough inside of you by my spirit to move mountains. There's enough inside of you by my spirit that nothing is impossible for you. Nothing. Now deal with the unbelief. Start walking this out. Start trusting me. Start believing me. Get in my word and deal with unbelief, because that faith came in before you could even get saved. You had to have faith to ask. God had to, Holy Spirit had already been working in you to get you to ask before his Spirit could come in. Amen? And so it's not trying to have something you don't have. He's saying, you have what it takes. You just have to get rid of unbelief. Amen? And how many know mountains can have to do with spirits, not just a literal mountain moving? It has to do with hearing God and walking in God and obeying God and seeing what God's doing. There's a lot of things to destroy unbelief. Okay. And then he goes on, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. So he's showing us a couple of things there, which we're going to finish with this. When we're talking about deliverance, when we're talking about healing the brokenhearted, when we're talking about setting people free, there's no formula. It's not one set plan. There's different spirits. There's different levels of bondage. There's different things involved. And the Lord says, look, you're going to have to fast. And that can mean really seeking the Lord and not eating food. That can mean making sure that that thing is not fed and getting stronger and stronger. Amen? And prayer, talking to God about it, hearing God about it. Amen? And so, you know, let me make up five steps so we can end the conference with me being good to, what did I say, five essential keys? Oh, I said we're going to have keys, all right? Let's have a, you guys can help me. Y'all help me come up with the five keys. Somebody give me one key. You got to be saved. You have to be born again, all right? Key number one. What's key number two? Sanctification, being made holy, seeking the Lord with the purpose and intention of knowing God. Give me another one. Huh? Everything's done in his name. And in his name is recognizing in this relationship that you're one with him, that he sees you, he abides in you, you abide in him. When the devil sees you, the devil needs to see Jesus. Whoa. When the devil sees you and somebody, he needs to see Jesus. I thought it was cute what Caleb was saying last night. The devil and him, when he was getting the deliverance, said, he looked at me and said, there's no way. Let me go over here. Amen? That's really, God opened up the spirit realm for us in that deliverance. That doesn't, usually you don't see all that. Honest to goodness, it was amazing. But God was showing us, this is what the enemy's going to do. Look at him trying this. Look at him trying this. Hear what I say. Do what I say. Tell them to come out, whatever it is. Hear, get word of knowledge. Flow in the gifts of the Spirit. So let's say key number four is yielding to Holy Spirit and flowing in his gifts. Amen? Which would be, yielding to Holy Spirit and flowing in his gifts is also going to include what? Plundering that house. Binding up that strong man. All right? See, I got to get everything in a key because I can only have five. So I'm putting all that into one key, right? The key of just really flowing in him. Having unity. Getting your own heart healed. Walking in wholeness. Amen? And what's the fifth one? I got it. Rejoicing that your name is in the Lamb books of life and not about demons submitting to you. Now, if I ask for five, we do five totally different ones, but that worked pretty good for this conference. Amen?